This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.
97 Gold presents Your Money with Faye Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Faye Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
I'm wonderful. It's Saturday, and the temperature's down. I love it.
You know,
the temperature's not 90 when I got up.
We talked about that a couple of weeks ago, when it gets hot, it stays hot, and the hot switch is on, and so, it's you know, when it's like 95 at 11 o'clock at night, that's tough to get through.
It is. And when it's 90 degrees by 11 o'clock, it's not real fun.
Yeah.
But you know what? It was 67 this morning.
Really? Wow.
67.
That's nice and comfortable.
I was in great shape.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a cool day.
A little Christmas in the air and everything.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you don't reckon summer's edging away, do you?
No. Don't be fooled.
Don't be fooled. 100 degree will be right back.
Oh, yeah. 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 And it's going to stay that way until Thanksgiving. It usually does. That's a way of life for us.
That's right. Well, it's going to get up into the 90s today. It was just nice and cool early.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, you know, and if you're going to pick a day to be a little bit cooler in the morning, Saturday's the day to do it because, well, you know, we kind of have our own time. We're not rushing around trying to get to work and things like that. You can just kind of relax a little bit, enjoy the break.
That's right. And, you know, Saturday is such a great day to do things. It's never going to be the same again, I don't think. I think everybody's having to make a new Saturday, a new way of life.
Yeah.
And if we can just get through this, we're going to be okay.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, I mean, goodness gracious, look at all the things that have changed. School started this last week, didn't it? I think.
Yes, it did.
And so, you know, Zoom school is underway, and so, you know, way different than it used to be. You know, you still got to go get the stuff, all the supplies and the clothes and the crayons and whatever you get. But the whole process is different. And so now the first day of school is no longer, you know, oh my gosh, we got to run out and catch the bus, or oh, we got to leave by such and such time to get in line to drop you off at school. Now it's just like, okay, well, make sure you're ready and logged on, which is different.
Well, let me tell you what else is different. You know, we never had masks before, and now we're all wearing masks and buying cute masks and all this. And I ordered the little children some masks.
Mm.
And, you know, I just figured it was coming from Ohio or, you know, Arkansas. I didn't know where. Anyway, I didn't get them right away, so I went online and looked them up. And these masks, one of them was coming from England.
Really?
Can you imagine that? And one was coming from Canada.
Really?
And so we finally get them, and they're in this little tiny package. It was cutest thing. I go, you might. I've waited all this time for this tiny little package of a mask. I said, wow, this is a new world, folks.
Yeah, it is.
But they're cute. One's a puppy. One's a kitty.
Oh.
Oh yeah. All kinds of really cute little masks, and they're well made. I was shocked. And when I saw the stitching on them, how well made these masks were.
Really?
You know, they weren't some little cheap masks. They fit the little kids, and they're great. And they're all cartoons.
Oh.
You know, I've got a Mickey Mouse. I've got everything.
Oh.
And I thought how cute that was. And that they were well made. Our little temporary masks, those little ones, never did fit them. You know, they were all over the place. They didn't fit, and they couldn't keep them on. So I was out looking for masks that actually fit little kids.
And these ones and, work.
And these work. They're nice. They're a polyester, which it's easier to breathe. They're a little polyester fabric, and they're really nice.
Well, that sounds amazing and fun.
It is. And I just had so much fun getting them here that I couldn't believe they, you know, came from foreign countries.
Yeah.
I had no idea. I thought little masks were just made, you know, right here in the United States. And I had no idea they were coming from Canada and England.
Where'd you find them, like Amazon or?
Etsy.
Really? Is this your first time with Etsy?
It is. I didn't know anything about it. I clicked on masks and it brought them up and I ordered it from them. But it was three separate companies. I thought that was just one company.
Yeah. Yeah.
But apparently it's not.
Yeah. It's Etsy's really a... We've really kind of opened our eyes to it a couple of years ago. We started ordering some things, just like, you know, like jewelry things and, you know, just stuff like that, because people will actually custom make them for your order. And sometimes it's like a person, like an individual person, and then sometimes it's like an actual company that makes stuff. You know, they have like an actual store, or sometimes they don't even have a store. It's all completely online, but it's really, really cool. We got our first masks off of Etsy, and they were hard to find because they would, like, literally we would put a couple in the little buggy, and then we'd kind of look around to see what else was out there, and then we would go back to the buggy to try to purchase, and between the time we put it in and tried to purchase, they had sold out and we couldn't get it anymore. It was when everybody was trying to get the, you know, the mad rush for masks. But now I think it's kind of settled down a little bit and people have their masks, and now it's turning into a whole new thing with like designer masks and stuff.
Well, and what I discovered, these were all custom made, even for little children.
Neat.
And that was shocking. You know, it wasn't a mass produced thing. They were all custom made.
Wow. So they were just for each individual order.
Individual order, when you order, it's an individual thing.
How cool is that?
I thought it was really neat. And as I said, they were made so well, I was in shock.
Wow.
Because I didn't know how well they'd be made. I just wanted them to fit.
Yeah.
And they not only fit, but they're actually gorgeous and really cute for little kids.
Yeah, they're made well and they look really cool and fun. You said they're cartoons, right?
There are cartoons and kitties and puppies. We got Spider-Man. I mean, you know, we went the whole route.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
I've got a mask that we got off Etsy that has cartoon superheroes. I think it's like a, not Captain America, but... oh, geez, I forget what it is. But it's got a bunch of them. It's got like some Spider-Man on there and Wonder Woman and Batman and somebody else. Yeah, they're fun, aren't they?
They are fun. And I'm glad that we found out about Etsy, that we, you know, were able to order off of them. I liked it.
Now you kind of got that bug to kind of try to see what else is out there. You want some more fun masks.
Yeah, to see what else that, like, it's not big stores. They're, like you say, I think they're fairly small stores. But it works.
Yeah. Yeah. It's neat to not only just support, you know, people who are in, you know, like smaller businesses as opposed to like large corporations, but they do really good work.
Yes, I thought so too. And I liked them. I really did. I said, boy, this is, you know, it's a quality product.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they wasn't just thrown together.
They shipped it. And how long did you have to wait for shipping? Was it a couple weeks?
Oh, 3 weeks.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Yeah, it took a little longer because it was coming from a far, far away. It wasn't around the corner, folks.
Yeah.
You know,
I wonder if anybody is kind of going into, like, new areas of business, because we're all kind of reinventing how we do things. I wonder if people are taking like little hobbies like that, that maybe they just did for fun, and like making these things and putting them on stores like that and websites like that and selling them around the world. And all of a sudden they've got a new income revenue stream. I wonder if that's a thing.
Well, you know, I've read several companies that, like one company was in the liquor business and they switched the mask and they switched the sanitizer.
Really?
And they said because they had been in the liquor industry, doing the sanitizer was easy for them. And they said they saved the jobs of all their employees because they were fixing to have to lay them all off, but, you know, because of the pandemic. And so now they're all working and they're turning out sanitizer.
Wow, now that's adjusting. That's cool.
Yeah, it's a big adjustment. Then I've seen here in Dallas, since I bought these masks, I was online and saw this costume shop and said they were having to lay everybody off on this costume shop, and now they're making masks.
Mm.
And they said, you know, they haven't gotten rich, but at least, you know, they're staying afloat.
Have you seen, because you remember what was it? ShamWow. Remember the ShamWow company with Vince on TV? You'd see the commercial, and Vince would come on there, and he'd talk about his the ShamWow, and it wipes your car down. You wash your car with it and all that. Now they have switched over, or maybe they've just added. I don't know if they've completely switched, but now they're offering masks. And so the same guy is on there. He's talking about how wonderful the ShamWow masks are. And it's like, it seems like everybody.
I missed him. Oh, gosh.
Oh, yeah. It's a big deal. It's lots of fun.
Oh, Lord. So now he's doing masks, too.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it takes a tremendous amount of masks because there's, you know, so many million people in the United States, and everybody needs one. And, you know, all the ones we're getting now are washable. And the first ones, you know, were just throwaway masks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think if everybody goes to these new kind of masks, there's going to be, like you say, a definite reason for people to be making these extra masks.
Yeah, there'll be like designer masks, and I'm sure,
yeah,
you know, companies, well, because you want to have a variety, you know, like you don't just, you know, pull out one shirt out of the closet and just wear it every day. You want to have a variety
right.
of masks, you know, depending on your mood.
Yeah, you want to have a lot of pretty masks. You don't want to just have one old mask.
Yeah. I wonder what that's going to do with Halloween, if they're going to have like Halloween types of masks.
We probably won't even have Halloween.
You know, you're probably right. Because, oh, I didn't even think of that. Because, you know, you used to go trick-or-treat. Well, that's kind of scaled back to, like, now trunk-or-treat, little events and gatherings and things. And now we can't do that. So, oh, wow, I wonder if Halloween's going to be canceled.
Well, everything else has been canceled.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't know what we're going to have.
Well, Halloween's one of my favorites. You know how I love to start getting into the Halloween candy this time of year.
Yes, I know. You're just waiting for the first candy call.
Yeah, I am. I've already seen a little bit in the stores.
They can't be having candy already.
Oh, they do.
This is August.
Oh, yeah, it's out.
But if we don't even get to go trick-or-treating, what are you going to do, just buy candy?
Why not?
Yeah, just buy a bunch of candy and eat it, right? Oh, my gosh. Just
wow.
Have a sit down and just very carefully take each piece apart and eat it. This could take some time.
It could occupy several hours of family fun.
It could be a fun deal. It really could.
Wow. It's amazing what we can accomplish on one quick conversation. And today we'll mark it down as this is the day we've canceled Halloween.
Yep, I'm afraid it will be. I just don't know if it's going to work.
Wow. I wonder what that's going to do. Because Halloween is one of these big... obviously, Christmas is like the biggest, but this is one of those Halloween or holidays that people spend tons and tons of money. I wonder what that's going to do to revenue for companies that focus on this kind of thing.
What do you think it's going to be like for all companies? It's going to be a new world because look at all the there's 28 big stores that went under. Okay,
28.
So 28. I looked it up after I talked to you the other day. There's 28.
Are there any new ones from this past week?
I didn't see any new ones this week, but I gave you all those, you know, from last week that, you know, Men's Warehouse and Brooks Brothers and all those that had went under, which is shocking. The old Men's Warehouse company's been around a long time.
Yeah.
Brooks Brothers has been around a long time. A lot of the men's stores that, you know, I didn't think would ever go under have. I guess two or three are owned by the same company.
Oh.
That might be another reason they went under.
Yeah, yeah. Like gone, or are they just like holding back?
They all went in Chapter 11, and they were selling stores off. Now, what amazed me is all the retail stores that I saw the other day, California Pizza is declared bankruptcy.
Did they
there
really?
There was a lot of restaurants that had, and a lot of the retail stores said, well, we thought we could sell our company, and nobody bought it, so now they are going to liquidate. They went into bankruptcy thinking a lot of these they could salvage them, and when they couldn't, they said, well, you know, we're just going to go ahead and get rid of everything. There's not any other choice.
So there's not even an option to dismantle and sell it off in parts and chunks?
No, it looks like they were just, you know, saying, well, we've sold this many stores already.
Mm.
And we've closed this many. One company said we've closed 130 stores.
Wow. That's a lot. That is a lot.
It is.
This
so,
is,
you know, it's shocking that all this retail didn't have more money. See, what I'm shocked about is like Ann Taylor, all these other big stores like out of Chicago, you know. They've been around a long time. Didn't they have any money? After 30 years, wouldn't you have had $1 billion?
You would have thought that there was a chunk of reserves someplace and they had built things up. But, you know, this is unprecedented times. This is I never thought I'd see these companies that have been in business for, you know, more than 100 years, well established. You would think they would have reserves. You would think there would be things going on. But I wonder how many of these companies have gotten top heavy. And so a lot of executives seem to be taking more. Maybe there's a little bit less in reserves to kind of float things through, or maybe there's just not the capability or the manpower to make an adjustment to, you know, going, you know, strictly online or revamping or anything. Maybe they were too embedded and that were not scalable when something like this happens. I wonder.
I just don't understand it because, you know, if you've been in business 30, 40, or 100 years, you ought to have a pile of cash.
You would think.
And none of them had any cash. And so, you know, they didn't have the backing. So they just said, well, we're going to have to close everything, and go into bankruptcy. Like Pier 1. Pier 1's been around a long time. It was a great store. I bought a lot of things at Pier 1, loved it, especially at Christmas. Mm. And, you know, they thought they were going to be able to sell that store. So they now say they are not going to be able to sell it, and they're just liquidating everything out.
Wow. Which means now you've got all those people that that were working on those shows or on those stores and companies. You've got all those people that are out of work, and it's tough to find another position when there's so many other companies in the same position. In fact, I think the job numbers this week, wasn't there like 1.1 million new claims for unemployment this week?
Yes, over 1 million still.
Wow. That's a lot of displaced people.
There will be a lot more because until they get liquidated, they're going to have a few of them in, but they won't have them all. And I don't know if people are even shopping those particular stores since the virus hit, you know. Apparently not enough, right?
Well, I saw something, and this is just obviously speaking for the general population everywhere, but I saw a report a couple days ago where a lot of people started doing very, very well, and they're like, wow, you know, sales are rebounding, and, you know, we're rehiring people. Well, they dug down into it, and those sales that spiked dropped because a lot of people were using their stimulus check and that stimulus money to go out and buy, and now that's over with, and so now we're spiking back the other way. So
this is so bad.
I know
they
it.
They used their stimulus check and went out shopping.
Yes.
And they shouldn't have been doing that if it was that little stimulus check.
Yes. And it's a large enough population of people that did that to affect the numbers on such a wide scale. And so now businesses are going back the other way. They're having to lay people off again because their revenue is way down again because their stimulus checks have been wiped out. So.
Wow, what a deal.
I know. Never thought I'd see that, you know. So now you want to talk about, you know, market reacting to different things. Goodness gracious.
Yeah, and the market, you know, is up, but it's down. You just don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, and then being in an election year is always, you know, topsy-turvy to begin with. You know, things are always unsure, but then you put all of this other stuff that's going on top of it, and, man, I don't even know if it's even possible to predict market trends anymore. I don't even know if it's even possible.
I would not think right now would be the best time to figure that out.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm sure
it stabilizes.
I'm sure you get a lot of people that call you and say, "You know, look, Vay, you know, I'm seeing, you know, things are up, you know, and that's fine, but we know," and it seems like those trends would last for longer before. So if the market was on an uptrend, it would stay that way for a while, and then it may come back down, and then maybe go back up, and then maybe down. That's the nature of the game. But it seems like the gains and losses are happening much more drastically and much more, I guess, closer together, as opposed to like several months of trends. We're looking at a couple of days, maybe a couple of weeks, either way. And so I would imagine, and you know, you could probably obviously tell better about what people are doing and what they're thinking and how they're reacting than we could. But I would imagine that people are probably coming in and say, you know, Faye, this is just too, it's too unstable. We can't do this anymore. Are you finding people coming into you looking for alternative investments?
Yes. And, you know, what amazes me is I got a call this week from a gentleman I had talked to a year ago. His family is with us. I mean, they have their investments with us. He's out of state. And a year ago, he chose not to go with us. He went with somebody else. And he called me yesterday and he said, "Faye, I'd like to go ahead and put some money with you." And I was laughing at him. I said, "Well, it didn't work out too well." He said, "Well, they had the worst year they've ever had."
Really?
Yeah. And it's one of our, it's not really a competitor because they're so much bigger than us. We're not really in competition with them. But they are the company that I've talked to before about them. Is they guaranteed their people 8%. But somehow, I don't know how that guarantee really worked. But I know that this last year, they were just buying anything because they were so rich. They would just buy a policy. It didn't matter if it was 7 years away, 8 years away. And so they didn't get all that cash flow like we get. Mm-hmm. They didn't have the cash flow that they should have had. And so they've had the worst year they've ever had. And he decided he'd better switch. So he came back to us after being with them a year.
Mm.
And said, "Faye, I want to go ahead and put my money with you." Of course, I was laughing, you know. And it takes guts after you've told someone no and to come back a year later and say, you know, "I want to go ahead and do business with you."
Yeah, you have to swallow it before you
can. You have to swallow it. But, you know, with us, we don't care. We're always glad to have people. And I don't think anything about it. I just know that he didn't make as wise a choice as he should have. And at the time, I didn't know who he was going to go with, and it wasn't in my business, except, you know, he thought he was going to make a lot more money than with us.
Mm.
And it didn't work out. And he called his brother. This is what's funny. He called his brother and said, "Are you still doing good with Faye?" He said, "Yes, I'm still doing good with Faye." He's been with us a long time. So, you know, this time he just calls and said, "Okay, I made a mistake. I'd like to put my money with you."
When people come to see you these days, are there more people that are being proactive or reactive? And this is for new investors.
Well, a lot of them are proactive. They see things changing. They see how they would like things to be, so they're making that decision now. A lot of them are getting ready to retire fairly quickly, so they're making adjustments now. Where they'll have a solid retirement and that they'll know that there's not going to be an up and down, or, you know, that they're not going to take any losses. So anybody that doesn't want to ever have any losses, they're going to, you know, come with us and just be solid straight across, no ups and downs.
Are people adjusting? You know, because when you say, you know, the ups and downs, when you do the comparison between, you know, like the stock market and investing in life settlements, do you find that that people are adjusting well to the fact that, hey, we can actually relax in a time where most people are really up in the middle of the night checking their portfolio every night on the computer, and you know, they're worried, have I lost everything, or you know, have we gained anything at all? Is it even possible? Do you find that people adjust well to the fact that they can just kind of like set it and forget it and not worry until the policy matures?
I think so. Once they've made that decision, I think it's a good thing. They've made that decision. They've decided they want to invest differently. And I think once they've done that, you know, they relax. You know, they realize it's not a day-to-day thing. It's not every day they have to worry about their account. They know that it's solid. They know it's in a life insurance policy. And until that policy matures, they don't have to do a thing. And so once it matures, they know they get paid and we do it again. So it's pretty simple, really, once they get into it. It's just that when they first come in, they, you know, have questions. I had a gentleman the other day that's new with us, and we sent him out, you know, a policy to look at, and he called me and said, I've got some questions. And I explained to him one more time how it really works, and he was fine. But you have to hold their hand sometimes at the very first, mm-hmm. and get them through the first two or three investments.
When people start investing in a life settlement, is that the I guess first of all, is that, because I know you have a number of options for people to make investments to grow their wealth and get ready for retirement. But is the life settlement, is that the most popular, or is that, because I know we focus on it a lot, but I didn't know if that was like the big one that everybody really wants to be a part of.
It is, and lots of times if people can't qualify, they do get upset because they say, I really want to do a life settlement. We had a guy a year ago. He was worth $900,000. But, you know, you have to be worth $1 million or you have to make $200,000. He'd already retired, so he didn't have the income to qualify. He was trying to qualify on his assets and didn't have quite enough. And he was upset that he had to do something else or had to wait till he got his assets up just a little bit.
Is he still in that transition process, or has that kind of flushed out?
That's, you know, I don't know. I haven't talked to him lately, but I can tell you that he was upset that we didn't just, you know, let him do that right away.
If people are in that position, if they're thinking, you know, man, I really want to get in on this life settlement. I mean, it sounds like a win-win really for everybody. What do you recommend people do when they're in that? Maybe they're close but not quite there. What options do people have to get over that hump and close that spread?
Well, I look at it and say, okay, have you figured your bonuses? Because I don't know this year if they'll get a bonus, but in years past, lots of times people didn't even have their bonus figured in. When they were figuring what they made per year, that bonus of $50,000 or $75,000 usually put them over the top. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I go back over their assets with them, make sure that did they really put everything in. And as you know, sometimes they don't have them all in. There's assets they've missed. So I tell them to go back, look at every asset, and then refigure it, and then let me know if it really works. If it doesn't, you know, we can do annuities. I'm always shocked that a lot of people don't choose annuities because, you know, annuities are so safe. It's like a CD. It just pays a lot better. And you can have market. You've got all the market in there, like the stock market, but you don't have the risk.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can't qualify for a life settlement, if you did an annuity, you can do the S&P, you can do the Dow, you can do the Russell 400, all kinds of things. But you're not directly in the stock market. And if you're not directly in the stock market, you don't have the risk. And every time at the end of the year, if stock market is up, they lock in your gains and you never lose it. It's not like the stock market. They don't take it back out the next year or the next month. So that's one thing for people who do not qualify for a life settlement. An annuity is such a safe investment. I have lots and lots of people that years ago did annuities with me, and they've stayed with their annuity. They never did take their money out of the annuity. They've taken so much a year out, and they've still got annuities. They've still got money, and they've made a lot of money with their annuities. So I always recommend annuities for anyone who is, you know, wants a definite amount of money per month or per year. and that wants the stock market without the risk. Because yeah. It's a great investment, and you don't have the risk of the stock market, but you've got the profit. You know, you've got all those things you can invest in, but you don't invest directly.
I know we focus a lot on the life settlement, but and we don't really get into the annuities a whole lot, and maybe we probably should, because you know it doesn't matter where people are in the grand scheme of things in their life's journey. It sounds like probably annuities might be a really an ideal situation for people who aren't accredited and can't do the life settlement route, and so it, there's a lot of options, I guess, is what I'm getting at. And so annuities sound like a really something that you are really excited about.
I'm always excited about them because there's so many ways that you can do it. You can take an average. You can take a point to point. You can say, okay, what it made today and what it makes at the end of the year, whatever that difference is, I want it. Or you can say, I want a two-year strategy, you know. You can take the S&P for 2 years. You can take the Fidelity, the Russell. There's so many different ways you can do it. The Russell 400 has always made money. The NASDAQ has made more money, in my opinion, than the Dow. And so a lot of these strategies are great. They work. It just depends on how you want to do it. But you can take a 10-year policy, and at the end of 10 years, you can walk away, cash it out, or just take a payout. Say, you know, I want 10% a year. I've got a lot of people who've got three or four annuities with me. They've got an IRA for him, an IRA for her, and then they have a joint policy. And, you know, they have money on each one every year if they want it. I've got one couple that has just now come up on their 10th anniversary with us. And other than their IRAs, they've never taken any money out. So they've got all that money plus all their interest for 10 years.
Wow.
That has accumulated.
Wow.
Yeah. They have a 10-year accumulation of interest. They've never taken any money. I talked to her this week, and she said, "Faye, we're coming up on the 10th anniversary. What do we want to do?" I said, "Well, let's look at it. We want to renew it, but we want to renew it in a different policy because annuity companies have come up with a lot of new policies right now, and the rates are great. You know, it's so much better than taking the risk of the stock market."
So it kind of sounds like the big takeaway here is diversity is key. You have to be diversified.
You've got to be diversified. If you're not, in this world, you're just going to have regrets later. You know, I'll put it that way. You're going to have a lot of regrets.
Well, that's a nice way to put that.
Yeah, because, you know, things happen. And if you're in an annuity, nothing's going to happen. If it doesn't make money 1 year, you haven't lost a dime. And if it doesn't make money in the stock market, you've lost. I mean, it doesn't just sit there. If you have a stock, it's either up or it's down.
Yeah, it's never
and
status quo.
With an annuity, yeah, and it's not that way with an annuity. If the S&P's up, they lock in the interest for you. If the Dow is up, they lock in the interest at the end of the year. If the Russell is up or Fidelity, whatever it is, if it's up at the end of the year, they lock it in, your interest never goes away. It's not like the stock market. It doesn't fluctuate up and down every day, and you lose. If it goes down, your money just stays the same. You never lose any of your principal. You never lose your interest. They lock it in, you've got your gains, and then the next year you get your next gains and the next year. So I love the way an annuity works. My children have annuities. My son, when he quit working, he'd had a couple of heart attacks, so he couldn't work anymore. I put him in annuities.
And he's doing well.
Yeah, and his annuities have done well. His wife, her annuity has done better than his.
Really?
Yeah. We had a different strategy. And his mother-in-law, I've got her in an annuity. And she's the one I talk about on the radio every once in a while. She's been with us 15 years. She's still got money in her annuities, even though she's been taking money out for 15 years.
Wow. That's pretty cool.
And I went back yesterday, and I was looking at annuities and what people had made. And a lot of them have still got all their principal and all the interest they've taken out all these years. It's left their principal intact.
And that's important, because a lot of people in Wall Street they don't have anything left, and so I talk to some people that are scratching their heads, thinking, "My goodness, there's no win-win situation. Everything is losing money, and so it doesn't matter what we do, we're going to lose. So why bother?" And they should not have that kind of approach.
Well, and the other thing is, if they're getting older, instead of taking the risk that they could lose some money, a lot of people have. They always go back to 2008. If you have an annuity, you're not going to lose your principal.
Yeah.
You might have a year when the interest isn't great, but you're not going to lose your principal. And when it goes up, it's locked in. That's the biggest advantage of the whole thing. If the stock market goes up, they lock your interest in, and it isn't going anywhere. And that's the best thing, because every year, whatever interest you make, they lock it in. The next year, they lock that interest in. So at the end of 10 or 15 years, you know, you've done some really great things. You've got a lot of interest, and you can take the interest out every year, or you can say, "I'm just going to wait to the end of the term and decide what I want to do with my money."
Hmm. So there's a lot of options.
There's a lot of options. Lots of times the wives want annuities. The husbands want life settlements. And sometimes they both want life settlements. You know, it depends where they are in life. I've got some really, really conservative people that did annuities years ago. They've still got them. They're doing well. And they've never come to me and said, "I want out of my annuities."
Hmm. So a lot of people have found a number of options that actually work and can grow money right now, especially, you know, with things the way they are. That's important. And so we'll get into the life settlement aspect of it in just a few minutes. But for right now, this is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
The phone number is 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330.
We should also mention your website, AmericanFinancialMidland.com. People can go and find information, testimonials, and see real money that people have made if they want to do a little bit of, I guess, recon research before they call and come in to see you. That's always a helpful resource. Every Saturday morning around this time, we get into trivia. So what are we talking about this morning?
A very interesting fact. Let me ask you this. What if all of a sudden on your street at your house, the water didn't work?
Oh.
And you call out the city and say, "You know, we're having trouble with the water. Can you send somebody out?" They send somebody out, and they discover a prehistoric cave believed to be 10 million years old under your street.
I would not believe them. Did that really happen?
This happened in Round Rock, Texas, I'm telling you.
Really?
Round Rock, Texas. People in this neighborhood were having trouble with their water. They called the city and said, "You know, we're having trouble with the water." They get out there, they dig down, and they find a cave. Now, can you imagine finding a cave under two houses?
Mm-mm. I could not.
I mean, it's shocking. But they found these two caves. It has four chambers. It's 20 to 22 feet high. The ceiling's about 8 to 6 feet underneath the roadway. I just can't imagine, but they found the cave. They think it's 10 million years old.
Wow.
Yes, and they're trying to find out how solid the ground is above it. People are worried that the cave could decrease the value of their homes. That would not be my first thought. Mine would be, is my house going to fall into the cave?
Yeah. I mean, what did you say, 22 feet high? That's huge. That's big.
Yes. Wow. It is big. And engineers have been taking core samples, trying to test the strength of the soil and the limestone. You know, they're trying to figure out what in the heck they're going to do. And they said, "Oh, well, this is a closed cave. we don't think animals or people have been going in and out of it. And they said, we found no evidence of life inside the cave. Well, I hope not. I mean, you know. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, that could be kind of brutal.
And so they put all kinds of barriers around it. They're working on it, trying to figure out what in the heck they're going to do. I'm going to tell you something. If there was a cave underneath my house, I would be leaving that house very, very quickly. I mean, finding an ancient cave under your house is, you know, is scary.
Yeah.
Now, did you know that we have in Central Texas 40 caves?
Really? I didn't know that.
Yes. There is 40 caves down there.
Huh.
Now, this first time they've ever found one under a highway and under a street.
Yeah. And, residential neighborhoods are not where you'd normally look.
Yeah, and these people said, we're worried about the value of their home. I'd be worried, can I get out of the thing?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, let me sell this place, have the insurance company pay the claim. Uninhabitable is what I'd say. This house is just uninhabitable.
I don't know if that's
me
on the...
Me and this cave cannot get along in the same place.
That is true.
I mean, I just can't imagine finding a cave underneath your home.
It'd be pretty cool if there was, like, some buried treasure in there. That'd be neat.
That would be neat. But finding a huge cave underneath your home is so scary. I wouldn't even go back there. I would be out of that place.
What did you say was 8 feet below the highway?
Yes.
That's not that far.
That's not.
I mean...
And it's big.
Yeah. Wow, you think that might sink in?
Yeah, it's under two houses.
Oh, wow.
And can you imagine? The water, of course, cut off because I imagine the dirt gave way there, you know, where the cave entrance was.
Yeah. Wow.
Oh, my gosh.
Could be an indication of disaster right around the corner.
Well, yeah, I mean, I would think if they had a little small earthquake even, it would move this thing around, wouldn't it?
Yeah, you'd think. My goodness. I wonder if there's been especially with, drilling and, you know, disrupting the earth and shaking things, even several hundred miles away, things can be affected by, you know, earth movements. And so you would think that I wonder how much the ceiling has been, compromised with changes in the earth. And so I wonder if it started out much thicker and then it's kind of lost, some ceiling parts. And I wonder if that's just gotten thinner and thinner.
Well, what I think is the roadway being built on it, houses being built on it, affected the formation up there on the top.
Mm.
And I think it something had to give. And I think it shifted, and the dirt and the ground shifted is what I think, and that's how they discovered it, because it affected the pipes that cut the water off.
Yeah.
When it shifted. And then they go out there and discover, oh, my gosh, we have a cave down here. And I love what the engineer says. Well, we didn't see any signs of life in it. Well, I would hope not. That'd be too much, you know?
That would be way too much.
Oh, my gosh.
Way too weird.
Oh, my gosh. Anyway, I just thought I'd tell you about that. I thought you need to know about that.
Well, it's kind of scary because then you think, well, geez, if they can have a cave there, where else could they be? You know, are we on one right now?
You could have a cave, I believe, anywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, if they've got 40 caves in Central Texas, how many other caves do we have?
Exactly. And I wonder if that's going to have to start to be part of the process. You know, when they do when they're selling property and things like that, I wonder if it's going to be part of, like, the survey process. It's not only, you know, looking horizontally, but maybe vertically as well.
Well, I think in that part of Texas especially, I would certainly be checking the ground. You know, I believe I would really have an engineer out there checking everything before I built any streets or a subdivision.
Yeah. Wow.
Because it's been there all these years, and nobody ever noticed anything about the ground, anything down there. I mean, just we built these houses, and they built streets on it, and they don't say what they're going to do. So who is responsible Would the city be responsible for your house? They built the streets on it.
Yeah. I don't know. They probably have some kind of a way out of it, I'm sure.
Yeah, you're right. City always has a way out. Yeah, that's the way it goes. Oh, my. Yeah, wow. Because this, can you imagine, it's only 8 feet underneath.
I know it. And you know, you go to the, you know, we put people in the ground 6 feet. And so that's only a difference of 2 feet. I mean, that's.
What if you drop somebody down this deal?
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
But the fact that Central Texas has 40 caves, how many caves do we have in the rest of the state?
Yeah, that we don't even know.
Yeah. But apparently there's a lot of caves. And, you know, we have Mammoth Cave. We've got so many famous caves in Texas that we talk about every once in a while. But they say this one is millions of years old.
Wow. That's amazing.
10 million years, they think.
Fascinating and scary at the same time.
It is. It is fascinating to me that they could have found a cave underneath the house and that nobody knew it was there. Nobody's ever done a geological survey, apparently. And I just don't know what in the heck you're going to do.
And it's been there for 10 million years.
10 million years. And suddenly they discover it. And now they say, what do we do with it? We've got a cave, but I don't know. I just don't know what in the heck. I would want to get the houses a long way from that cave.
And they haven't figured out what to do yet, have they?
No, they have not. They have engineers working on it, trying to figure out what they're going to do.
Oh, boy. That's got to be living on tense nerves until they figure that out.
Oh, yeah, you're right above the cave.
Yeah.
Two houses right above this huge cave under the ground.
And highways and roads and, geez, you know, you hear about sinkholes and things like that, and those are kind of scary enough, but those are like little teeny tiny things, relatively speaking. You're talking about a big mammoth cave like that. It's like, man, now it just makes, sinkholes that are scary enough, takes those kind of to a whole new level, I would think.
That's what I'm wondering. You know, I mean, I would, of course, move out of the house immediately.
Yeah.
I mean, I would say, I don't think we can live here like this. You know? I mean, with a cave right directly below my house. I mean, it's already cut the water off, and it had to have shifted somehow, or it wouldn't have cut the water off.
Yeah, it might have been a blessing that they got that kind of a warning. It could be a signal of, you know, bigger things about to happen.
It could be. Could be something that's going to happen with that formation right under them. I would not want that cave, knowingly, right under my house.
No way. Not knowing probably is okay, but once you know it's there, I mean, it's going to take probably years, I would think, to figure out what to do with that. And so while
I think it's going to be a very expensive proposition.
Yeah, and
I think this is going to cost some money.
Mm-mm. Is there any kind of opening that people can get into?
Well, they have been under there. I've got pictures of people looking in it.
Really?
I've got pictures of the people standing there looking.
But it's like sealed off at the end, right?
Yes.
Wow. So people can't fall in.
Well, I hope not.
As far as we know.
No, but I have a picture of the engineer down in the cave.
Where is this? I got to Google this. Where is this, have a name or anything? Or?
Yes. Well, it's at Round Rock, Texas.
All right.
It's at Round Rock, Texas.
I'm going to Google cave in Round Rock,
Texas. And they've had scientists down there. They already have a scientist down there.
Wow.
And he was down there exploring it. And, of course, this is Williamson County, close to Austin.
Makes me glad that we don't live there, and then makes me worried that maybe there's one under here. Yeah, there's something else for me to worry about.
Everything out here is just rock, I think.
Yeah, well, that's I'm sure that's what they said.
Well, they may have, but I don't know what the answer is, but they have scientists that have, I have a picture of the scientists down in the cave.
Man.
And it looks very large to me.
When did they find this? Does it say? Is it recently or?
In 2018.
Wow. So this has been there for 2 years. Well, that they know of. that they found.
Yeah, that they know about, yes.
It's been there 10 million, but they just found it 2 years
ago. Yeah, it's been there 10 million years, and it's 20 to 22 feet high.
Yeah, that's great. Something else for me to worry about. Thanks.
Something else for you to worry about.
Wow.
But I love it when they said, well, we don't find any life inside the cave. I would have certainly hoped not.
That's the line of the day right there.
That's right.
Oh, boy. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330.
So at the beginning, we spent quite a bit of time on annuities because we don't usually do that. Another big alternative for people to invest a little bit more conservatively than maybe they're used to, maybe on Wall Street, is life settlements. So what exactly is a life settlement, and how is it so much different than stocks?
Well, a life settlement is where we buy a life insurance policy on someone that has cancer. We buy their policy, we give them a lump sum, and then my clients, the investors, make the difference between what we paid for that policy and the face amount. That's what they make. Mm. And, they make 1% a month. So if it's a 24-month policy, they're going to make 24%. I had a strange thing happen this week. We had a policy that we've worked and worked for months to get, and we just couldn't get the contract signed. We finally get the contract signed. The man dies. We've only had, it's been like 2 months, 3 months since we got it signed, maybe 2 months. And it said it was going to live 30 months.
Oh.
The man has passed away, but he passed away before we got the final document signed.
No.
Yes. One of the best policies we've ever done in our life because, I mean, he passed away right after we get it signed. I mean, right after we thought. But no, we go back and look, and the wife gets the money.
Oh, man.
Yeah. First time it's happened in a long time.
I know you've had some in the last couple of years that were really, really close.
We've had some close, but never this bad. It took us so long to get the signatures. We kept waiting and waiting to close on it. We get close. Then they notify us yesterday that he died, just before we got it signed, and we didn't know it. We thought that he'd already signed everything. We signed everything, but he died before our signatures went on the contract.
Wow. Well, that's kind of
a $600,000 contract, and the 21st said he was going to live 30 months. He didn't live any time. I think the life expectancy report came out in April, and of course he died in August.
Wow, that is really close.
Fast moving. He had prostate cancer.
Mm.
I've never known one to die that quickly, but he really did.
Wow.
So always remember, they can rescind a policy if he dies before you get final signatures.
Mm. How often does that happen?
This first time it's happened this year.
Oh, wow, okay.
This is our first one of the year.
So it's rare. It doesn't happen very often.
It is very rare. Last year I think we had two or maybe three that rescinded, but this is the first one this year.
Wow. Well, that's...
But anyway, when we do a life settlement policy, I love them because, first of all, it's a life insurance policy. It's safer than most other investments because we're relying to get paid from the insurance company. You're not relying on me to pay. You're relying on the insurance company to pay the claim, and they always do. And when all the insurance companies we use, they're A or double A rated companies. So when we buy a policy, we're looking to see, we check that first thing. What kind of a company is it? What is their rating? And as long as they're A or AA rated, we'll do business with that life company. Then when the policy matures, our people get paid. If it's a 12-month policy, they get paid in 12. If it's 24, 30, whatever it is, at the end of the term, they get their money. Now, let's say that it's 30 months, it comes in 15 months. Doesn't matter. You're still going to get the same amount of money. Whatever your contract calls for, that's what you get paid.
So that term that you're referring to, 18-month, 24-month, 30-month, that is what the experts, the doctors say, is when they think the policy is going to mature, right?
That's when they think we're going to get paid, yes. They say, okay, we think John here is going to live 18 months. So that we show the clients the policy, we say they think he's going to live 18, we're going to go 18, plus we're going to escrow another 12 months. In case it goes over, we always escrow an extra 12 months.
So people know what they're going to make. They know roughly when they're going to make it. What's the downside? What are the risks? There's got to be
the
something.
The risk is if it goes over, you have to be able to stand it, not getting paid right then and getting paid a year or two later. And it happens every once in a while. We have it happen. Nobody's perfect. The people that give the reports are not perfect. Sometimes they're wrong. Sometimes everything you know about a person, about their cancer, they may stretch it out, or it may come in early. We have a lot that come in early, as you know.
Yeah, that one that he passed away before all the ink was dry, that was really, really early. You said it was 30 months, right?
Yeah, it was 30 months, and you know he was dead in like 2 months, three.
Wow, that's
yeah,
pretty aggressive.
And we've never had that happen. I've never had one that's 30 months and that they died this quickly.
Yeah, that's a huge
and
spread.
Usually prostate cancer is not that fast, but this one was.
Wow. So that's the first risk. If it goes over, you may have to pay premiums. What else? There's got to be something else.
The other one is it's not liquid during that time. When you buy a life insurance policy through us, it is not liquid until they pass away. So most people do know that. The third risk is if a life insurance company ever went under. We've never had one go under in Texas. Nationally, we haven't had one go under in years because someone always buys it. Life insurance policies are worth a lot of money. Life insurance companies have so much premium income that they are worth, you know, billions of dollars. So somebody would buy it if it really, you know, had problems.
So essentially, people just invest and wait for the policy to mature. That's really it, right?
That's exactly right. And what I love is it happens all the time. We have policies maturing all the time. People get paid during the year. Sometimes they have two or three. They might not have any this year, but a lot of people already have had two this year. And we've got two more right now. Burke policy everybody's waiting for should be in the bank this next week. That's the one we had the problem with the death certificate, but it should be in the bank. That's $1.4 million, I believe, that people have coming. And then we've got the Kaufman policy coming, and it'll be in a couple, 3 weeks. So we have maturities all the time. People are making money or they wouldn't be doing this.
Yeah, and in these times, that's got to be almost an amazing relief, I guess, you know, to know that there are better options than what a lot of people are used to. So what about availability of not only policies and appointments coming up in the next week or so?
That's right. We are seeing a lot of people. We're taking appointments. We're doing Zoom meetings. We're taking appointments over the phone. It's a new world out there. We're learning to do things that we never did before. You know, I never before did appointments on the phone. I'm doing it all the time now. I'm doing Zoom meetings all the time, you know.
Safety first.
Safety first, folks. We're going to get through this. Oh, my gosh, I can't wait. Remember, we can't even touch people. Used to, we shook hands with people. Do you realize that?
Yeah, yeah.
We no longer shake hands. We bump elbows.
Are you bumping people's elbows when you go places?
Yes, but we're not even getting that near people. We could bump elbows if you really know someone well. But, you know, stay 6 to 8 feet away from people.
All right, Faye, one last time. What is your phone number for people to call and make a Zoom or a phone appointment?
Okay. It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330.
Thanks, Faye. Stay safe.
Thanks.
You've been listening to Your Money with Faye Bagby, sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Faye Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold.
This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.